Y'all snickered at my puns a couple of weeks ago. So this morning I'm going to share with you a scenario, get your brain working, you see if you can figure it out. First one goes like this. Every day, a gentleman went to work. Every day, he would ride the elevator all the way down to the bottom floor of the high-rise apartment that he lived in. But when he came home from work, he would ride the elevator back up to the sixth floor. Then he would take the stairs to his apartment that was many floors above that. And this he did every day, unless it was raining. If it was raining, he would ride the elevator all the way up to the floor of his apartment. Why? I'm going to give you the answer in a minute. Second scenario. Anne is lying on the floor dead. There's broken glass and water all around her. Stuart is asleep on the couch, seemingly oblivious to the death that has occurred. How did Anne die? Now, I told you I would get your brains thinking this morning. If I preach my sermon, that's all you're going to be thinking about of these two stories for the next 30 minutes. So I'm going to give you the answer. Story number one. The reason the gentleman would only go to the sixth floor upon his return from work was because that was the highest button that he could reach in the elevator because he was very short of stature. But on the days that it rained, he took with him his umbrella, and he could use his umbrella to poke the button on the floor in which he lived. I don't think you ever would have got that one. Second story might help you to know that Anne was a fish, Stuart was a cat, and the glass and all the water that was around Anne on the floor is from her fishbowl, which Stuart was very successful in knocking over. I don't think you would have got that one either. But I got your brains thinking. So let me give you a third one this morning. On Friday night, a man dies. He's buried on that same night. On Sunday morning, some friends of his arrive at the tomb where he was buried to pay their last respects, only to discover that the body was gone. What happened? I think you know the answer to this story. But if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at it in depth, and we're going to look at it from four different Gospels, primarily from the 20th chapter of John. You might want to mark that. But we'll also be looking briefly at Mark 16 and Matthew 28 and Luke 24. So the story goes like this. Very early in the morning, a group of at least five women approached the tomb where Jesus' body had been buried. There had not been sufficient time after his crucifixion to properly prepare him for burial, and according to Mark 16:3, as these five women approached the tomb where Jesus was buried, a thought occurred to them. Mark 16:3 says, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" Well, despite that obstacle, these five women didn't think they could do it. They continued on, and when they got to the tomb, they found a very interesting scene, something they didn't expect, and it's recorded for us over in Matthew chapter 28, verse 4, where it says, "The guards became like dead men." That's not surprising, really, because in Matthew 28, 2, it says that there had been a great earthquake, "For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." If you came upon the tomb and saw that, you would probably be dead like men, like the guards were. But the women walked apparently past these guards. And they entered the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. And if you go over to Luke's account in chapter 24, I'm going to begin at verse 3 where it says, "Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." So when they got there, they found the body was gone. Mark 16:7 tells us that an angel instructed them to leave and to go back and tell the disciples, and especially John, that Jesus would meet them in Galilee. And that's exactly what they did. But when they got to where the disciples were and they began to explain the story, obviously they were very excited, but the men didn't believe them. If you go over to Luke chapter 24, verse 11, it says to them, "Their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." Guards that seemed to be dead, an empty tomb with this big massive stone rolled away, men in bright shining garments sitting there, and Jesus is alive? None of that made any sense to the disciples. But I guess the message was intriguing enough to provoke two of Jesus' disciples, John and Peter, to go to the tomb to see for themselves whether it was so. So John and Peter, and the scripture also tells us that Mary Magdalene headed off to the tomb to see for themselves if they could figure out what this mysterious occurrence was and what happened that day. There was an empty tomb. They didn't question that, I guess, from what the gal said. But they had to decide for themselves, why was it empty? And what it all meant? You know, that's really the same thing that you and I have to decide today. We all agree that there's an empty tomb. We wouldn't be here on this Easter morning if we did not believe that. But the question is, how do we respond to an empty tomb? How's it going to affect my life, your life? Three different people, Scripture says, came back to that empty tomb. Each of them came away with a very different impression. The first was John. We'll call him John the Believer. If you go over to John chapter 20, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in." You see, when John heard the news, he jumped up. He ran with all his might to get to the tomb. He wanted to believe that Jesus was alive. He loved Jesus. We've read the New Testament. It appears that he was the most faithful, the one loved and loving. He was in the courtyard when Jesus was interrogated and sentenced to death. It was John that was sitting or standing at the base of the cross and received the mother of Jesus into his care. He had to be excited about the possibility that Jesus was alive, and he ran faster than he ever ran in all of his life. He outran Peter. And he got to the tomb first, but he didn't go in. Looked inside, saw what the ladies had described, but he stayed outside. I don't know why he stayed outside. We can speculate. Maybe he was just out of breath, had to catch it before he could do anything else. Maybe he was outside because he was afraid to go in. What if Mary was wrong? What if Jesus' body had just been moved to a different part of the tomb, perhaps? Maybe he would go in and he would find Jesus' body all mutilated after that beating and hanging upon the cross and would see his hands and his feet? What if he and Peter went inside and this was all some setup kind of a trick by the guards? Maybe they're hiding and suddenly they're going to appear and they're going to accuse Peter and John as coming to maybe steal away the body of Jesus to prove that they're some of the disciples so they could face the same kind of consequences that Jesus faced. They'd be arrested, carried off, killed. I don't know the answer to that. You don't know the answer to that. But it does make me wonder, what would I have done? What would you have done? After a few minutes, Peter arrived. Let's go back to John 20. Let's pick it up beginning in verse 6. It says, "Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also." The brazen Peter. We've always read about Peter being that. He didn't stop. He hit the door and went right on in. And he saw everything that Mary and the other women had described. Linen cloth that had covered the body of Jesus was just kind of all neatly laying there, almost as if somehow Jesus had dematerialized and did come out of the cloth. And the napkin that had been over his head, it was all folded nicely and laid there. Well, if Peter went in, John had to go in. So they both saw the evidence. But they had different responses to the evidence. Look at verse 8 of John 6. It says, "When John went in, he saw and believed." John saw and believed. The empty grave was enough evidence for him. What the other women had witnessed was true. Jesus really had risen from the dead. He didn't need to see Jesus to know that Jesus was alive. The empty tomb was enough evidence for him. There are people like John today. We believe because there's an empty tomb and because of the testimony of Christians through the centuries that Jesus was alive and is alive. We don't need to see him to believe. We join John in what Jesus described found in John 20, verse 29, when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John reacted to the empty tomb with belief. But then there was Peter. Peter's a little slower than John to arrive. I don't know the answer to that either. Maybe John was younger. Maybe he was more fit. Maybe Peter, being on the fishing boat, had arthritis in the knees. I don't know the reason why he was slower than John. Or maybe, as he made the trip, he was a little hesitant. Maybe a little afraid of what he might find. I don't think he was afraid of the soldiers. Peter was the one who got the sword out, whacked the ear off in the garden there. Peter wanted to see Jesus. But maybe there was something inside him that dreaded the idea. The last time he had looked at Jesus in the eyes was when he denied him. If Peter saw Jesus, he knew he was going to be confronted with the guilt of his sin. And I guess he probably wasn't sure whether he could handle that. Denying the Lord, and now he's alive. So maybe Peter's vision of wanting to see Jesus was clouded by all the pain of the past. He wanted him to be alive, but he didn't know how he was going to be able to face him. There are people like that today. Maybe some of us are that way. We want to believe, but we're a little bit afraid of all the luggage we've got, all our past, the things we have done. For some, that's too much pain. Too difficult to believe that a resurrected Jesus could wipe all of that away and forgive us of what we've done. I tell you, my friends, he can. He did. He will. Peter went in and examined the evidence for himself. He saw the linen. He saw where the body had been. He saw the cloth that was folded. He saw everything that John and the women had seen. It was enough to prove to Peter that something had happened. But it wasn't enough to prove to Peter that Jesus was alive. You go over to Luke chapter 24, verse 12. It gives Peter's response. It says, Peter saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I guess we could say he was a skeptic. Needed a little bit more evidence. Peter did great things for Christ in his life. And he did some stupid things. And one of the stupid things he did is recorded for us in John 20, verse 10, when it says, then the disciples went away to their own homes. You see, Peter was still scratching his head. And he took John and they went home without resolving what had happened. He left. He left without concluding as to what had happened. The sad thing, and what makes it stupid on the part of Peter, though he didn't know it, that if he had just hung around a little bit longer, he would experience the same miracle that Mary Magdalene was going to experience. There wasn't enough evidence because he didn't hang around long enough. Too many people don't have enough evidence to place their faith in Jesus for the simple reason that they just don't hang around long enough. They don't read God's word enough. They don't attend his house enough. They don't spend enough time in prayer. They get up and they walk out of the door of the church just before the miracle happens in their life. Don't leave and miss the miracle. Peter walked away from the empty tomb with his heart still broken. But then there was Mary Magdalene. When Peter and John left, she stayed. Let's go back to John 20. Let's pick it up in verses 11 and 12. It says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. I don't know whether they were there and the other two guys couldn't see it. I don't know whether they came as soon as John and Peter left. All I know is when Mary Magdalene looked in, that's who she saw. And the angels ask her a good question. In verse 13. Woman, why are you weeping? Let's back up a minute. If you're still in John 20, go to the very first verse. It says that these five women came, including Mary Magdalene. It says, while it was still dark. Now, surely that's a reflection that they came before the sun came up. But particularly for Mary Magdalene, and I guess for the other four as well, it's very much a reflection about the darkness of their heart at the moment. Mary was depressed. Psychologists tell us that people are depressed when they lose something or someone of great value. And they say the greater the value of the loss, the greater amount of depression you probably experience. Mary lost everything that was valuable to her. Go back and look at Mary Magdalene's life and her experience with Jesus. To her, Jesus meant, in the first place, release. Remember, she had seven demons within her that he had cast out. Jesus meant peace. I'm a parent, Trish and I, three kids. We got 10 grandkids. We know the stress of taking care of kids. Can you imagine having seven demons pulling at you every day? Obviously trying to get you to do bad, not good. And when Jesus cast it out, she had peace. But more than that, Jesus meant forgiveness. Oh, in that story, there are some reasons why perhaps because of her sin, these demons possessed her. And when they're gone, he forgave her. Jesus meant someone she could believe in. She was a part of a group of women who financially supported the work of Jesus while he walked and talked. She believed in what he was doing. Everyone needs someone to believe in what they're doing. Mary Magdalene was that for Christ. She lost Jesus. She lost leadership. He was the one that was giving life to her. He was the one that was telling her what and how to live. She was running around now like a lost puppy. All of that. All of those reasons. Yeah, she was outside the tomb weeping. And in her weeping, she did answer the angels. If you're back with me, we're in John verse 13 of chapter 20. Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. She didn't know he was alive. She just knew he was missing. And then a miracle happened. Look, beginning in verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," that is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things to her. Mary saw Jesus. And that's what Mary wanted more than anything. And she wanted it more than anyone else. She wanted to see him so bad that it didn't matter what the lewd soldiers were saying while they had him on the cross and they were down parting his clothes and gambling. She was there. It didn't matter the fact that he was beaten and he was hanging there on the cross. She stood there and wanted to see Jesus. She wanted to see him so bad that when the body was taken off the cross and it was carried to the tomb, she went there and stayed there until they rolled the stone in front of the opening. And she stayed there until night came and Sabbath began and she had to depart. And now, when Sabbath was over, even before the sun came up, where is she? Back wanting to see Jesus. She could go to the disciples and say what none of them could say. I saw the Lord. Everyone here is like one of these three witnesses to the empty tomb. All of them had been told what happened that day. Mary was told by the angels. John and Peter were told by the women. All three saw the same tomb, saw the same evidence. All three had different reactions. Many of you are like John. You see an empty tomb and you believe. And Jesus says you're blessed because of that belief. Even though you haven't seen the resurrected Christ, you rejoice that Jesus is alive. It means that you will live with him forever. That's why he came. Some of you are like Peter. You see the empty tomb and you just don't know what to believe. I mean, something's going on. But you haven't put all the puzzle pieces together yet. I just don't understand all this religion stuff. I don't know enough. I don't know why people are willing to get up on a Sunday morning and come down here and sit in a church house. It doesn't make sense to me to give up their sleep and their free time. You know, the only way we'll ever understand that is to stick around. Don't just come on Easter. Come back again and back again until you see the miracle in your own life and how it can change you. Stay a long time at the foot of the cross like she did. Stay a long time in front of the empty tomb. Stay a long time in his word. And then some of you are like Mary. You see the empty tomb. You see the change in people's lives. You think there's got to be some practical explanation for all of this. She didn't believe either. She didn't know what all the puzzle pieces were to be, but she hung around long enough to have all her questions answered and to allow her faith to grow. Maybe that's you. Whether you're not quite sure about what happened on that day, or more likely you're not real sure how what happened on that day affects you today. What does it all mean? What does it all mean to me? Jesus is still alive. And he can be to you all the things that he was to Mary Magdalene. Release, peace, forgiveness, a sense of purpose and leadership. Maybe you're ready to believe Jesus today. When we sing the song of invitation, that is just that, an invitation for you to walk down the aisle and to say to God and to us, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I have enough evidence. I believe, like John believed, like Peter ended up believing, like Mary believed. But if that's not for you today, then I encourage you to do this. Come back and keep coming back until you see the miracle in your life. Come if you will as we stand and sing.